People often wonder why God doesn't stop evil from infiltrating our world. Why does he allow the wicked to advance their sinister causes? Why do the innocent suffer? Those are tough questions to answer. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll describes a future time when God will unleash his judgment on those who've defied him. His application comes from Revelation chapter 9. In this passage, we witness an alarming scene when justice is served. Let's begin in verse 4. Chuck titled his message, Releasing Demons from the Abyss.
Please take notice of four limitations placed on these demons who have filled the creature form of a locust, whatever it looked like. First, verse 4, they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree. Second limitation, they were not to hurt believers. See the end of verse 4? But only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. You may have forgotten, but over in chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, we read of this sealing, where the Lord protected a body of people, thousands in number, who are his followers who come to know Christ at the early part of this great tribulation time. Look at verse 2 of chapter 7. I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. Now watch closely. Saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. Somehow, in this era yet future, there will be an identifying mark. There will be a surrounding protection, a bubble of protection provided for the followers of the Lord Jesus. They will be the evangelists of the future. And they, in verse 4 of chapter 9, are protected from the sting of the scorpion tail on the locust-like creature. This is all very intriguing. You may remember, you who know your Bibles, in the days of the Exodus, there were 10 plagues that preceded the actual deliverance of the Hebrews from bondage. 10 plagues, if you check, the last 7 of them did not affect the Hebrews. They were protected from the last 7 of the 10 plagues. This is like that. The plague affects others, but in this case, it does not affect these who are marked by the protective seal of God. The details of that, I know very little about. Furthermore, that's true of other people. No one knows exactly all that that involves, but there is some kind of protective shield provided by the seal of God. So they were not able to hurt believers. Third, they were not able to kill. They will not be able to kill. Verse 5. They were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment. Only torment. Fourth, they will not continue tormenting interminably. They do so for 5 months. Mentioned in verse 5, 5 months. Mentioned at the end of verse 10, 5 months. Once would have been enough, but he tells us twice. Why 5 months? It's anybody's guess. That's the standard life of a locust, I read, and perhaps it ties in with that, perhaps not. But the point is, they won't continue tormenting forever and ever. They have a period of time where they sting and bring horrible misery. One man writes, all hope seems gone by now. There will be no tomorrow for many. The earth that people have loved and worshiped will have been utterly devastated. The land ravaged by earthquakes, fires, and volcanoes. The sea filled with the putrefying bodies of billions of dead creatures. Much of the fresh water supply now turned into bitter poison. The atmosphere polluted with gases and showers of heavenly debris. Then, worst of all, will come foul smoke from the pit as the demons are released to spiritually and physically torment wicked people. The dream of a worldwide utopia under the leadership of Antichrist will have died, driven mad by the filth and vileness of the demon infestation. People will seek relief in death, only to find that death has taken a holiday. Don't miss that. It's a part of the misery of this scene. Verse 6, in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. I'll not linger here because it is too discouraging and depressing, but one of the awful sights of 9/11 were those bodies falling from the stories, 100 or more stories above earth, where death for them seemed better than to be burned alive or to be crushed. But in this case, there will be those who will wish to jump and can't. There will be those who will wish to load their guns but won't. Those who wish to cut their wrists but are stopped. They cannot die. Now the locusts are described in greater detail, and we will sort of slip our way through these verses. Pay attention to verse 7. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. A little later we read that they were like chariots, the sound of chariots and many horses rushing to battle, the end of verse 9. So they will be warlike, brutal, and defiant. As in ancient days, our earlier days, horses prepared for battle represented a fierce, aggressive force that would sweep over a city or across a country, leaving it ravaged. It's that kind of scene. Notice also verse 7, on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold. This speaks, it seems, of authority and a conquering, almost unstoppable presence. Their faces, interesting, were like the faces of men, and they have hair like women. Rather than seeing these creatures as brute beasts, sort of pummeling their way through life, these are intelligent creatures represented by the face, and there is an allurement about them that must early on have been attractive to draw people to them, which seems to be the idea of the hair of women. Maybe the first impression is even, if you will allow me, a sense of seductiveness, attraction to them, only to be stung when they get near. They have teeth like lions, which of course speaks of savagery in nature, and they have breastplates that tell us they have a protection and are invincible, cannot be held back. Worst of all, they have tails that sting, tormenting, bringing pain and misery. It is quite a sight. One man writes, the total impact is one of unnatural and horrible cruelty, more significant than the awful appearance of the horde is their power to punish. It's easy to forget, isn't it, that all of this comes on the heel of all of the other judgments, seven seal judgments, and already four trumpet judgments, and this is the fifth. And again, they don't come haphazardly on the scene and sort of swarm over places indiscriminately. Notice they have a leader, verse 11. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. Again, some writers say that this is Satan. I don't believe Satan is the angel of the abyss. In chapter 20, Satan is bound and thrown into the abyss. He doesn't dwell in the abyss. Demons don't want to be in the abyss. I'll show you an example of that. Turn ahead, if you will, to Luke chapter 8, or turn back to Luke chapter 8. You can't turn ahead from Revelation, you get to the binding. So go back to Luke chapter 8. Let me show you an example that they don't want to go to the abyss. They don't want to be held there. Very fascinating scene that many of you have read, Luke 8:26. They sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he had come onto the land, he is Jesus. Jesus was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house but in the tombs. That could take time to develop, but please notice the unusual nature of his existence. Being demonized, this creature no longer wears clothing, no longer lives a normal life. Another reference that is a parallel reference says he could not be held with chains. So he has remarkable strength. Now watch. Seeing Jesus, this man cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answers, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. They were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. There you have it. I'll not develop that any further, but notice their desire was to stay away from the abyss, not to be prisoned there, not to be held there. And later he allowed them to go into the pigs of the area, and they ran and were drowned. Anyway, that's an example of the nature of the demon is to stay free and to do his work under the guidance of his leader. Now, in this case, there is an angel of the abyss. This would be the highest ranking, or we could call him an archdemon, in Satan's hierarchy, who has the responsibility of leading these who are released. And it will be under a specific strategy, and we know the goal of the strategy in the names of the leader. Please observe, or the name. It says he is the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. You'll read that several other times in Revelation and a number of times in the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, Job. But interestingly, the Greek term is used only here in the New Testament. The Greek has the name Apollyon. The word means one who destroys, or destruction, destroyer. That's the goal. They go about to destroy, to hurt, to maim, to bring misery, to torment. It's part of the punishment of the fifth trumpet judgment. The duration, we're told again, verse 10, 5 months. I read elsewhere, "The locust fiends who follow the leader are no blind swarm descending at the whim of the wind. They are an organized host. Rank after rank, they come to add another dimension of terror to an age already insane with fear." And then, as though even this were not enough, the Holy Spirit adds, verse 12, "The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things." Horrible setting, isn't it? Dreadful. How wonderful it is for the child of God to know that in trusting Christ, there is not only instantaneous forgiveness, there is not only the deliverance from the dominion and authority of Satan and sin over us, but there is the promise of being removed from the earth before this and other events like it come to pass. I'll be honest with you, if I were without Christ, this would be sufficient warning to say, I want in. I want in the family. I don't want this to happen to my family or to me. Now let's apply all of this. Let's look at this through eyes of the 21st century. This is an era yet future, written in an era yet past. But let's look at where we are today. Let me draw four statements for your thought and understanding as I apply this. Each has to do with demons. First, though invisible, demons are real and aggressive. Though invisible, demons are real and aggressive. If I could get your attention for one statement, I'd appreciate that you never forget it. Because something is invisible, is no reason to believe it isn't real. Matter of fact, the longer I walk with Christ and the deeper my understanding of His Word, and I have so much to learn about it, but the deeper I go into His Word, the more real the invisible becomes to me. The more I sense the conflict about me that I cannot see or hear or even feel. And the more I want to stay away from anything that in any way opens a door to demonic activity, like a Ouija board or Dungeons and Dragons or a half dozen other video games that open a door that you will not be able to shut. Stay away from that. They are real. They are aggressive. Destruction of your life is their goal. Stay away from it. Though invisible, demons are real and aggressive. Second, though innumerable, demons are organized and committed to our destruction. Though innumerable, it may seem that they are haphazardly moving about, sort of swarming the third heaven or the second heaven or whatever the heavens, carrying out some sort of uncareful or not carefully thought through strategy. On the contrary, they have leaders at various ranks. I read this past week from a very fine authority that there are quite likely a hierarchy of demon activity over every national government in this world. That may very well be well organized. Because you cannot find the terrorist doesn't mean the terrorist isn't there. And you know this, he hates you as an American, and he is committed to your destruction. We now have that as a vivid illustration in our minds. It's no longer imaginary. These demons are innumerable, organized, and committed to our destruction. They cannot give birth. They cannot take life. And therefore, my third point, though intimidating, they have limitations and restraints. May I put your mind at ease here? They bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot fight that name. They cannot hold back the power of that blood. You are safe in Him. Doesn't mean you won't be affected. It means they will not take their massive toll on you. You are in Christ. Our fourth point. Though insidious, they bow before the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Though insidious, they bow before the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great news? You laughed at me and with me earlier as we talked about the little place where I stayed at Monte Sion. But I sensed during that time of ministry a very real presence of the enemy. I don't know if it was the presence of stinging insects or the threat of the unusual world that I had stepped into. But I remember every night, and I have often since that time, every night, committing my safety to the Lord Jesus Christ, committing his work to his name, and trusting him to watch over those who could otherwise be hurt, impacted. To cope with supernatural powers, you need a heavenly security. Without Christ, I say one more time, you have no hope, no hope of resistance. In Christ, you're safe. You're secure. Bow with me, please, as we close this message. We have visited a very unusual place as we have gone to the abyss. Thank God we will never know firsthand if we are in Christ the depth of such horrors. But I warn you not to give yourself too much rope here. You may not have forever to make a decision like this. Seems as though we're burying them younger every year. You have no guarantee you'll even be alive this time next week. Make sure now that your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in his name you face death. By faith alone, in Christ alone, that's the ticket. That's all the security you'll ever need. If we can help you with this decision, we exist for that reason. Our church is on this piece of property to help people in their spiritual lives. You have my word, you will never be led into some fanatical extreme. We'll not read a demon behind every bush. We won't go there, but we believe in the presence of the enemy. We believe the forces are at work against us. We'd like to help you find your way through in the power and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our ministry carries on its wonderful work behind the scenes, and folks who are trained and qualified can help you make this journey that you desperately need to take today. Contact us, and we would love to follow up in a personal way. Now, Lord, we bow in silence before you. Truths such as this deserve our quiet respect. We admit that much of this in the supernatural is beyond our comprehension. We can't really even grasp the dimensions of it, but we do see the big picture. We do believe it. And we, as simple human beings with souls that will last eternally, want to reaffirm our faith in you and our confidence in the cross, our gratitude for your powerful ability to deliver. Watch over those who are being harassed and hounded by enemy forces, those at the seminary preparing for your work, those in strategic ministries where truth is being set forth, those churches that stand for truth, including this one. Protect us, our Father, from any assault of the enemy as we hold forth your word. Now to him who is able to guard us from stumbling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. All hail the power of Jesus' name. In that name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
With his closing prayer, Chuck Swindoll concludes another study in the book of Revelation. The series is titled Unveiling the End, and today's message is called Releasing Demons from the Abyss. Here at Insight for Living, we know that for some, this topic stirs up fear
It's unpleasant to think about a future world where demons are unleashed to kill and destroy. Furthermore, these studies in Revelation just amplify what's already taking place in our world. With wars being fought in several countries and all sorts of cultural confusion here at home, it begs the question, are we living in the end times? Well, Chuck Swindoll wrote a booklet not about Bible prophecy per se, but for those who battle with fear. His booklet is called, How Can I Win Over Worry? You know, our fears are often rooted in worries about the future, and when we allow these fears to fester, it undermines our peace, and it sabotages our confidence in God's plan. We'd like to send you a copy of Chuck's booklet called How Can I Win Over Worry? We'd be pleased to do that when you give a contribution to the ministry of Insight for Living. You can address your donation to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or you can call us at 800-772-8888. In closing, let me say that your voluntary donations are truly making a difference. I saw a note on our YouTube channel from a woman who's struggling with worry. She said, Pastor Chuck, today's message helped me see my fear of growing old and to give that fear to God. I don't know God's plan for tomorrow, but I trust Him. You know, if you give to Insight for Living, you're having an impact on listeners just like this one and countless others. To give a donation today, go to insight.org. or call us at 800-772-8888. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll presents another drastic scene of God's judgment in Revelation. That's Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Releasing Demons from the Abyss, was copyrighted in 2003, 2006, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.